Recovery Sunday morning. It's good to have you with us. If you noticed a theme between the prelude and the opening hymn, that theme is going to continue through the entire service with the music and the homily. So there will be lots of shepherd references today. Next Sunday at 2:30 in the afternoon, our friends at Wesley Knox United are hosting a community service of remembrance in light of the pandemic. As we mark those we have lost and other losses, things like job losses, opportunity losses, all those things. It's just an opportunity as the community to come together, to pray and sing together. In advance, we have a little foam board here. And if you would like to write a name down of somebody or a loss or something in the pandemic that has struck you, if you write it on a sticky and stick it on the board will end up at the service and will be prayed over. Just a word of warning, the guy that they selected to do the reflection might be a little dodgy, but I'll do the best that I can. There is coffee today! It's amazing the number of different protocols and things that we've gone through, and they just swim around in my brain. So the protocol for coffee hour. And remember, all these things come from the diocesan office, and we are doing our best to follow. So, if you're in the hall for coffee, you must keep your mask on if you're standing up. Once you get a cup of coffee and sit down at a table, you can take your mask off and talk as long as you want. So it's that simple, straightforward. We made it as simple as we possibly can. So immediately after the service, coffee in the parish hall. Get your coffee, sit down, you can take your mask off. If you want to just talk, there's no social distancing required. But if you're standing, you have to keep your mask off. Okay, time for the wardens to deal with protocols. While Jim and Barb are coming, I just want to say a quick word of thanks to Jim and Barb. I could not ask for two better wardens and the work that they have done through the pandemic and through renovations. And Rector deciding to wander off, which is what they're going to talk about.
Well, it's a pleasure to see everybody here this morning. Happy Mother's Day and welcome. Spring is obviously here, keep your fingers crossed, but summer is coming and we need to mobilize. With the announcement at Vestry from our Reverend Keith Nethery to retire as of December 31st, we have officially begun the journey to find St. James Westminster a new rector. One of our first steps is to build a selection committee. We need your input. Who do you think would be a good candidate to be on a selection committee? Perhaps it's you. Perhaps it's your friend. We're looking for six individuals. You may nominate yourself or someone close to you. Please include a brief paragraph describing what skills or talents the nominee would bring to the committee. Please do consider the time commitment necessary for this task. We will be meeting regularly, gathering information and reporting to the parish. And the final membership of the committee and the makeup will be voted on by parish council. The deadline for name submission is 3 p.m. Monday, May the 16th. Nominations can be emailed to the wardens or sealed in an envelope and dropped at the offertory place. Perhaps call the office for more information. But let's create a committee that will be successful and let us move forward with our faith. Barbara and I are around after to answer any further questions. We do thank you.
Thank you, Barb and Jim. And as Jim mentioned, it is Mother's Day. Happy birthday to all the moms amongst us. Well, happy birthday. Okay, there's got to be a mom somewhere that has their birthday on Mother's Day, right? I told you, I got 9,800 different protocols going around in my brain. And Mother's Day and birthdays, And you want to know why I want to retire. Happy Mother's Day to those on this Mother's Day. But in all seriousness, one of the things I've learned over many years of doing this, this is also a day that for some is very difficult. Those who wanted to be mothers and couldn't. Those who have lost children, who may be estranged. So I want to assure anyone who this day is difficult for that you are in our thoughts and prayers as we go through this day. There are our nations at both doors, everybody can take one until they're gone. So take one to your mom or to a friend or for yourself or whatever. They're there to help celebrate on this beautiful day. A moment of silence and we'll begin our worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God.
To you all our hearts are open, all our desires are known, and from you most secrets are hidden. Plans and thoughts of our hearts are the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
O God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do your will, and work in us that which is well-pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our service continues with the first reading from Scripture.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands, they cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. nothing that can shake me. She has said she won't forsake me. I will have.
According to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes hard to believe something that is as familiar to us as the 23rd Psalm can suddenly have new meaning. I remember the first time I heard the version just sung, and it made me stop and think, which is a good thing, and journeyed with it. I have distinct memories of growing up with music that I knew all the words to and sang at outrageously loud volumes and tremendously off-key, but never paid any attention to what the words meant. I can still on Spotify today sing all the words to the song. I don't need them. But now I oftentimes stop and think about what they mean. And some of those songs, and we've used some of them in my time here, because Steve and I have sort of the same growing up type of music together. We know a lot of songs that are the same. But it's so wonderful to meet something familiar in a new way. And in fact, at the end of the 8:30 sermon this morning, something that I had never noticed before in Psalm 23 came to me, And I ended that homily with it, and I will end this homily with it as well. So what I want to do is simply walk through the words of the 23rd Psalm and the history of the 23rd Psalm and invite you to think about what it means to you and what it might mean to you, and if there are different understandings that will come as you hear these words in different ways. So the first thing that you get to argue with yourself about was, when was it written? Just about every Bible that you will pick up says a Psalm of David. If David wrote it, it's 3,000 years old. Stop and think about that for a minute. If David wrote it, these words have been said by people for 3,000 years. The other option, and this comes from people who study languages and know Hebrew and Greek and all those other things, would suggest that this was written post-exile, which is a possibility as well. But guess what? If it's post-exile, it's still 2,300 or 2,400 years old. It was not written in English. I know that's a hard thing sometimes for us to get our brains around, but the words that we know are not the words that probably weren't written down at first, were probably just spoken, memorized, and passed on in an oral tradition. The Lord is my shepherd. What do you know about being a shepherd? Especially being a shepherd 3,000 years ago. We can be pretty certain around the time of Jesus, because a lot of people have researched this, what being a shepherd was like the night that the shepherds came to the manger. We think of shepherd as being this glorious and wonderful job. It wasn't. It was one, maybe two people, with a whole bunch of stinky, loud sheep. Away from people, always on the lookout for wild animals, or dare I say it, wild people, looking to steal the sheep. Great long periods of time out by yourself. No place, no comfortable bed, no roof over your head. If it rained, you were in the rain. Does that make a difference when I say the Lord is my shepherd? That God will stay out in the rain for me? That God will protect me from wild animals and wild people? Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Oh, I'm going to have a big house and a fancy car and lots of money in retirement and best of clothes, and I can go out for dinner whenever I want, and things are absolutely great. And that's absolutely not what this is about. Survival would mean not being in want in the time this was written. I think the thought of the author would want you to be safe in your faith. I want you to be a good person. I want you to interact well with my other sheep. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, doesn't that sound nice? Anybody here want to volunteer to go out and lay in the backyard this afternoon? No towel, no sunscreen. Just go out and lay on the ground. We'll try and find an anthill for you to lay down close to. Maybe a couple of spiders, some birds will fly around. Out back of the church, you know there's love dogs, use that area. All of a sudden, it kind of changes the understanding. I think what it means is that God will help us to lie down in comfort. In the time of a shepherd, a nice green meadow, green pasture would be nice. Many nights they would sleep with a rock as their pillow. And rough, craggy ground. And leads me beside still waters. Read scriptures. When water is talked about, it's often not still water, but rather the water of a storm. The water of fear. The water of shipwreck. The water of death. on a boat only 300 years ago to go across a lake wasn't the safest thing in the world to do. The storm came up, and they came up quite quickly. I've talked to people who have been to the Holy Land, and they say even today a storm will blow in on some of the lakes, and all of a sudden what was calm and placid is downright terrifying. God will lead us in those places of still waters, away from fear. He revives my soul. What would it take today to revive your soul? You ever think about reviving your soul? Is that something we think about today? Saying God will revive my soul and make me feel better and make me feel more spiritual? Or are we just kind of bouncing from new protocol to new protocol to new protocol and wondering what we're supposed to do next? God wants to revive your soul. But you have to cooperate with Him. You have to cooperate with God to revive your soul. And guides me along right pathways. Do you know what pathways look like in ancient times? Twisty, turny, up hills, around mountains, through cliffs, all over the place. Even the right pathways were not easy to go along. But God's right pathways are the ones that are safe. Because they are for God's name's sake. That doesn't mean it's straight and easy. It doesn't mean that God is going to send you through a life of tranquility and joy. You'll walk some pretty difficult paths. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Well, yes, I think we do walk through the valley of the shadow of death today. What would the world be like when these words were written? When the folks from the next kingdom or village could arrive to plunder at any moment? Makes the next line incredibly poignant. I will fear no evil. How about you? I fear evil. I watch the news every night. Some days I wish I just left the television off. But I still believe that God is with me. And God calls me to trust. Now, without knowing about shepherds, this next line might not make a whole lot of sense. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, that's kind of hard to get our brain around. I'm not sure I want somebody with a shepherd's crook hauling me down when I make a mistake, or having a rod to make me go in the right direction. But when we stop to think about it, the tools of the shepherd were to guide the sheep along the right pathways. The symbolism is absolutely marvelous if we stop to listen to it. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. Eugene Peterson, in his translation of the 23rd Psalm in the Message, says, you prepare a full course roast beef dinner for me. Which might work for us. What would it mean in the times that this was written? And the problem is, it's with those who trouble me. Anybody here going to invite somebody who troubles them to dinner tonight? It kind of jumps out at you when you think of it that way. This is God yet again telling us that we're all in this together. If somebody troubles you, maybe you trouble them. If we're out in a 5-star restaurant and somebody else is plucking garbage for dinner, are we following God's will? Is this a call to social justice? A call to love all those that God has created? You have anointed my head with oil. Now that's one that we probably don't understand much. Oil is used in healing and sometimes in baptisms, but in the Old Testament understanding, there's one line, I think it's in the Psalm, don't quote me on this, that oil is running down Aaron's beard. That's the way that the oil of anointing of God's blessing, not just a little drop, but just literally poured all over him, we'd be running for the shower, trying to get cleaned up. And my cup is running over. It's not about the things that we might chase today or understand today. It's about relationship with God and with God's people. And continuing the story of all humanity. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I never do this without finding something new. I read an article that was pretty much just focused on this verse and said that the original Hebrew word that is translated as follow would be much better translated as pursue. Surely your goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. Is God pursuing you? Is God calling you to work with God to pursue others who are in need? What would it feel like to have God not following you? That's kind of passive, but pursuing you, calling you to faith constantly. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why we read this at funerals, right? But when this was written, there was no promise of eternal life. There was no resurrection, ascension of Jesus. It's at least 400 years before. It's quite possible that it was written to say that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever here on earth. And wow, look at theologians today talking about, yeah, heaven's important, but the kingdom of heaven is right here, right now, right back to the original understanding of what was written in the 23rd Psalm. We go through this all the time. Funerals. Every funeral. Oh, 23rd Psalm, 23rd Psalm, 23rd Psalm. And I do. And it's wonderful. And it has meaning. But it has meaning at so many other levels as well. Don't let it become something that you do by rote. It's so deep and so real about a relationship with God. At 8:30, I looked down and I noticed this, and I thought it said something rather poignant, taking the first half verse and the last half verse. Really summarizes what this is all about. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. As you're able, I invite you to stand. Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say,
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, standing, sitting, or kneeling.
As members together of the body of Christ, let us pray to the true and living God. Let us pray for those of our parish family who are ill. Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Stella Woodhouse, Anna Woodson, and Chris Huseman. We pray for the nurture of each member of the church, and this day especially for all mothers. For the newly baptized and for all in ordained and lay ministry, that our love for one another may show as we work for the coming of the kingdom. Direct our hearts, O Lord, to love you more and more. We pray for the gift of discernment so that we recognize God's presence and reverence his face in the faces of those we meet. Direct our hearts, O Lord, to love you more and more. We hold before you our monarchy and all those who govern our country and make its laws, that we may act responsibly and with compassion, attentive to real needs and good values. Direct our hearts, O Lord. We pray particularly for homes filled with suspicion and envy, and ask for the healing of old hurts, together with hope and perseverance as people set out on paths of reconciliation. Direct our hearts, O Lord. We pray for those whose capacity for trust and love has been damaged by other people's sin. We long for your healing so that all who are imprisoned by their past may walk freely into the future. Direct our hearts, O Lord. We pray for those who have recently passed through death, that you will judge them with mercy, so that, made whole in your love, they may know the joy of your eternity. Direct our hearts, O Lord. We give you thanks and praise for the salvation and restoration that is now possible for us through Christ's victory over death. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. So let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and will not repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, with almost all the restrictions released, we're getting close to what it used to be. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
table of life, and give us the cup of salvation to drink. Keep us always in the fold of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Shepherd. Amen.
Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
live in us that we may live in you. Receive communion. The bread will be distributed here. The wine will be distributed here. At both stations, you may stand or kneel, whichever is more comfortable for you. The common cup has returned in recent weeks. There are many who are still concerned about receiving the common cup. The doctrine of concomitance says if you have received in one kind, you have received a valid communion. So, if you wish only to receive the bread, come to this station. When you've received the bread, return to your seat. If you wish to receive both, come to the bread station first, then move to the wine station, then you can go back to your inn. If all of this just seems too much and confusing, you can come forward and ask for a blessing just by crossing your arms across your chest. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
share in these holy mysteries come safely to your eternal kingdom, where there is one flock and one shepherd. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
The power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine.
Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of God passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us this day. Remain with us forevermore.